Ladies and gentlemen, we are sorry for these momentary pauses in our broadcasting to you, but this thing has happened so suddenly that it's just hard to keep up to it. Now, we can bring you some organ music, and as fast as we get these bulletins in from the tickers, we can add them to it. Now, here's one just being handed to us right at this moment. It's another quotation from Hitler's statement, as it was read by von Ribbentrop. To step again, this... What is that? To step again? No. It's addressed by Hitler to the German people. In this moment, he says, occurs the greatest march, which in extent and proportion is the largest the world has ever seen. United with the Finnish comrades stands the fighters of the victors of Narvik on the Northern Sea. German divisions under the command of the conqueror of Norway, united with the Finnish heroes of liberty under their marshal. In other words, Finland becomes an ally of Germany and will be fighting Russia with the Germans. Supposing I read that again, we'll give it to you again. To the German people, and this is a quotation from Hitler's proclamation. In this moment, he says, occurs the greatest march, which in extent and proportion is the largest the world has ever seen. United with the Finnish comrades stand the fighters of the victors of Narvik, meaning, of course, the Germans, on the Northern Sea. German divisions, under the command of the conquerors of Norway, united with the Finnish heroes of liberty under their marshal. The news has suddenly burst from Europe that Germany has declared war on Russia. Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop read the proclamation by Adolf Hitler declaring war on Russia over the Berlin radio just a minute ago. And that news was picked up by the NBC shortwave listening post. But as an excuse, the Germans are saying that the Finnish people and the Romanian people are rising against their Russian oppressors. Germany, of course, will help these people in their struggle for freedom against the Russian yoke. Hitler says, I have now decided to put the fate of Germany again into the hands of the German soldier. Hitler condemned Russia for grabbing the Baltic states, Lithuania, Estonia, and Latvia. He lamented that he was forced to send an ambassador to Moscow 2 years ago, and that in that way he had to recognize the Russian state. His proclamation was in the tone of his attacks on Poland and his attacks on Romania, which he is now rising to defend, Yugoslavia, and the other little states. The National Broadcasting Company will remain on the air indefinitely to bring you all the latest word on this sudden news from Europe. Hitler, in his proclamation, said he had enough of Russia's violations of his frontier and was commending the fate of Germany to the army. Together with the Finns, the Germans are standing from Narvik to the Carpathians, he declared. And the German proclamation ended saying, German people, in this very moment, a marching of the German armies is taking place which has no precedent. At the rivers of the Danube, to the shores of the Black Sea, under General Leon Antonescu, German and Romanian soldiers are united. The task is to safeguard Europe and thus save all. I have therefore today decided to give the fate of the German people and the Reich and of Europe again into the hands of our soldiers. Keep tuned, ladies and gentlemen, to this station for further details. These bulletins have come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. From Hitler. The purpose of this unity, he says, is not any longer the safekeeping of individual countries, but the safeguarding of Europe, and thereby the saving of all our values. This is Hitler speaking, I have therefore decided today to put again the safety and the future of the German Reich and our people into the hands of the German soldier. May the Lord help us, particularly in this battle. Berlin, the 22nd of June, Adolf Hitler. That was a direct quotation of Hitler's own words as he himself came on the Berlin radio to announce to the people of his German Reich why he had ordered an attack on Russia. We have also been informed that von Ribbentrop, who read the proclamation of Hitler to the German radio, that von Ribbentrop is going to make another very important announcement at almost any moment over the German radio. We will bring you quotations from that, too. This news has come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. Keep tuned to this station for further developments.
Didn't play the horses, life is sweet for folks who live on Easy Street. No monthly payments you must meet that make your hair turn gray. When opportunity comes and
This is the NBC newsroom in New York. Adolf Hitler today launched his fast mobile panzer divisions against what may be the largest mass army of the world, the Red Army of Communist Russia. Whether that potentially largest army actually is there is something which the outside world can only guess at today. Moreover, whether that army is equipped and properly trained, whether it is indeed mobilized and in position to meet the Blitzkrieg thrust, and finally, whether it has the heart and spirit for a fight, are questions on which the outside world has been allowed only meager information for many years. Some military authorities have placed Soviet Russia's potential trained manpower at 14 million men. For years, the country has had compulsory military training. Every year, 1,200,000 young men of her huge 170 millions of population, not counting recently annexed territories, are called up for military service, 800,000 of which customarily are given training. The German Führer declared in his proclamation tonight that he had had enough of Russian violations of the German frontiers and had commended the fate of the Reich to the armies which have been all victorious since September 1939. Propaganda Minister Paul Joseph Goebbels read the proclamation, and then Foreign Minister Joachim von Ribbentrop came on the air to read out a formal declaration of war against the nation with which Germany linked herself in a 10-year non-aggression pact less than 2 years ago. The London government has just released to the British people the text of Adolf Hitler's statement. But as yet, the British have made no comment. In the light of these developments, the National Broadcasting Company is remaining on the air indefinitely. So keep tuned to your NBC station for further developments, for more details. Now, here are more bulletins that have just come in. The penetration of Russia into Romania and the Greek liaison with England threatened to place new large areas into the war. Romania, however, believed she was able to accede to Russia only if she received guarantees from Germany and Italy for the remainder of the country. With a heavy heart, I did this, for if Germany gives guarantees, she will fulfill them. This is a quotation from Hitler. We are neither Englishmen nor Jews. I asked Molotov, he goes on to say, referring to Molotov, the Soviet foreign commissar, to come to Berlin. And he asked for a clarification of the situation. He asked, is the guarantee for Romania directed also against Russia? This is Hitler speaking, I replied, against everyone. And Russia never informed us that she had even more far-reaching intentions against Romania. Molotov asked further, is Germany prepared not to assist Finland, who was again threatening Russia? My reply, said Hitler, was that Germany has no political interests in Finland, but another attack on Finland could not be tolerated, especially as we do not believe that Finland is threatening Russia. This, you understand, is Hitler's text that we are quoting to you. Then Molotov's third question was, is Germany agreeable that Russia give guarantees to Bulgaria? My reply, said Hitler, was that Bulgaria is a sovereign state, and I did not know that Bulgaria needed guarantees. Molotov said Russia needed a passage through the Dardanelles and demanded bases in the Bosphorus. What we have just been reading from the NBC newsroom in New York were quotations from Hitler's speech as it was read tonight over the official Berlin radio by Goebbels. The proclamation in which Hitler declared war upon his once ally, Russia. Once again, to remind you that we will stay on the air indefinitely and keep tuned to this station for further details.
And over here.
The NBC Newsroom in New York. This is an English translation of excerpts from Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop's formal declaration of war against Russia. The German frontier has been continuously threatened by the tremendous concentration of Soviet troops along the German-Russian border. The German government today was forced to take the following measures. The text of the note, which herewith is given to the world at large, is as follows. And this is all quoted from von Ribbentrop's declaration of war. Since the summer of 1939, the German government has felt that no understanding has been possible with a government which has consistently gone counter to the economic setup proposed by the German government, and also has been ruled by a party which has been governed by only one idea, that is to say, the overthrow of the world system through the international Comintern. That would bear reading again. Now, here is more, however, of the Hitler text. A few days later, she, Russia, he's referring to, and this is in quotes, concluded the well-known friendship agreement which was to incite the Serbs against Germany. Moscow demanded the mobilization of the Serbian army. When I still was silent, the men in the Kremlin went one step further. Russia offered to deliver war material against Germany. This was at the same time that I advised Matsuoka, the foreign minister of Japan, to bring about a lessening of the tension with Russia. Serb officers flew to Russia, where they were received as allies. Victory of the Axis in the Balkans at first foiled the plan to involve Germany in a long war. And then, together with England and with the hope of American supplies to throttle Germany. Now the moment has come, Hitler says, when I can no longer look at this development. Waiting would be a crime against Germany. For weeks, the Russians have been committing frontier violations. Russian planes have been crossing the frontier again and again to prove that they are the masters. On the night of July 17th, and again on July 18th, June 17th and 18th, there was large patrol activity. The march of the German armies has no precedent. Together with the Finns, we stand from Narvik to the Carpathians. At the Danube and on the shores of the Black Sea, under Antonescu, the Romanian chief of state, German and Romanian soldiers are united. The task is to safeguard Europe and thus save all. I have therefore today decided, says Hitler, to give the fate of the German people and the Reich and the fate of Europe again into the hands of our soldiers. This was all quoted from Hitler's text. In a few moments, the National Broadcasting Company will present an analysis on these developments from John Gunther, one of our noted commentators. I think that quote from von Ribbentrop would bear repeating. If you don't mind, we'll repeat it for you. Von Ribbentrop said, since the summer of 1939, that's 2 years ago, the German government has felt that no understanding has been possible with a government which has consistently gone counter to the economic setup proposed by the German government, and also has been ruled by a party which has been governed by only one idea, that is to say, the overthrow of the world system through the international Comintern. This is more of the text of Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop's formal declaration of war, as translated at the NBC shortwave listening post. The German government, he says, has tried consistently to reconcile the two radically opposing viewpoints, that of the National Socialism of Germany and the Communism of Russia, but to no avail. We remind you again that the National Broadcasting Company will remain on the air indefinitely to bring you the very latest words on these developments in Europe tonight. And also that John Gunther will be on the air in just a moment or two to give you his analysis of these developments. Good evening, everybody. Hitler launched a new war tonight. It may be the biggest war of his career. Again, it's a Saturday night. Again, the stroke comes almost without warning. Some 6 weeks ago, as you know, on Saturday, Hitler sent his Panzer divisions into Yugoslavia. Later, they went into Greece, then into Crete. But it's against a much bigger enemy this time. It's a war against the Soviet Union, against what is supposed to be the largest military force, the largest army, at least, that exists in the world. The German divisions are supposed to have crossed into Red Army territory, into the territory of the Soviet Union, sometime tonight by New York time. We have no details as to actual military operations. We don't know from what points they started. It's presumed that the attack began in Finland, where there have been important German concentrations in the last few weeks. 10,000 men were reported there quite recently, and from Romania. The provisional interpretation one can make of this tremendous, this sensational event is that Hitler needs the granaries of the Ukraine and the oil of the Caucasus so desperately that he is risking this most ambitious of all his military adventures on what is beyond any doubt the major crisis of his career. The attack on Russia also means that the war is a genuine two-front war, because after all, never to be forgotten is the Battle of the Atlantic on the other side, the battle against England. Probably the attack on the Soviet Union means that any attempt to invade England has been given up by the Germans for some time to come, possibly for all the rest of this year. It's almost inconceivable that a German attack on England can take place at the same time as an attack on Russia. Hitler's attacks rely on enormous concentrations of air power. It's almost impossible that he should have enough airplanes, to say nothing of tanks and land material, on both sides. German statements tonight repeat the kind of thing that are common when the Germans move against another country. Hitler says that the Germans have... Hitler says that the Russians have violated their agreements. He charges the Soviet with crossing the German frontier, that Soviet airplanes flew over Poland and Romania, contrary to the frontier arrangements that the Germans and Russians had made. It also said that the Soviet government is accused of demanding mobilization of the Serbian armies. One of Hitler's remarks, so familiar to anyone who has watched his remarks at similar times, is this, quote, "The moment has come when I can no longer look upon these developments." He means, of course, merely look. Then he pointed out that both Finns and Romanians were standing shoulder to shoulder with the Germans. It's an odd way to put it. And Hitler said he had decided to place the fate of his people and of Europe in the hands of the German army. Now, Mr. Hitler has several times run rather wild with international commitments. He has more than once broken his promises, his pledges. He's torn up, as we all know, many more than one treaty. But this surely is the most flagrant repudiation of a pledge and a promise that even Hitler has ever made. You all remember the 1939 treaty between Russia and Germany, the treaty that was an introduction to the World War, a 10-year non-aggression pact between these old enemies. It was a treaty in which both countries promised absolute peace, neutrality, friendship, cooperation, and so on. Now it is one of the most extraordinary scraps of paper that even these times can produce. Another extremely interesting thing tonight is that, as far as we know at the moment, this is the only time in which the German armies have attacked anyone with a formal declaration of war.
This is explicit in the early news bulletins, but on the other hand, I should like to mention it with some caution, because as I recall, the night that the Germans went into Yugoslavia, it was also first said that there was a declaration of war. Later, this was not was not confirmed. The Germans never declared war on Yugoslavia or Greece. But tonight it is said they have declared war on the Soviet Union. The ramifications of this adventure are so enormous that it's almost impossible to talk about them. One is, of course, the direct military prospects. The Germans have their armored, their panzer divisions, presumably ready for attack in two quarters from the Finnish frontier against Leningrad, which is important as a controlling factor in the Baltic. Second, an attack thousand miles to the south in the Ukraine, the flat country where most of Russia's harvest is gathered and which is on the way to the Caucasus, where, of course, there is oil. You remember the treaty that the Germans suddenly signed with the Turks a few days ago. Many people were puzzled by that treaty. Its meaning now becomes completely obvious. It was to neutralize the Turks in this Russo-German campaign against Russia. Another thing that we must watch very carefully will be the repercussions that a German attack on Russia will cause among certain circles, both in the United States and in Great Britain. After all, this turns the clock back with a vengeance. Now again, we have the old Nazi, Mr. Hitler, attacking the communists who, for so many years, he had always said were the people he hated most, his bitterest enemies, the people whom he despised and loathed more even than the Jews. That period ended with the Russo-German Pact of 1939. Now Hitler's back to his old Mein Kampf thesis. He is attacking communists. He is attacking communists in Russia, which is the stronghold of whatever communism is left there. This will probably mean that some old-style conservatives in Great Britain, perhaps even some defeatists and appeasers in the United States, will come out and say, as they used to say 6 or 7 years ago, ah, yes, Mr. Hitler is saving us from Bolshevism by attacking Russia. Such talk isn't likely to go very far nowadays, however. This also brings up the question of the Hess affair. It's very interesting to wonder what Mr. Hess is thinking about tonight, because, after all, if the official story is accepted, Hess fled Germany largely on account of differences with Hitler in regard to collaboration with Russia. The various military aspects of this campaign are almost impossible to talk about. We don't know how strong the Russians are. They've had ample time to prepare. But certainly, the campaign will give us an answer to one of the most tremendous questions in the entire world. That is, how strong the Russians are. Here is more of the text of Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop's formal declaration of war, as translated by the NBC shortwave listening post. Quote, "The German government has tried consistently to reconcile the two radically opposing viewpoints, that of National Socialism of Germany and the Communism of Russia, but to no avail. The German government has tried to reconcile its own viewpoint with that of the Russian government. It has consistently tried also to bring about equitable relations between the various nations of the European continent. However, the German government found that this course could not be pursued indefinitely in view of the fact that the doctrines of the international Jewish Comintern would not permit the working out of amicable relations between the various nations, and particularly prevent effectively any real cooperation between Germany and Soviet Russia." Unquote. We shall have more in a few moments.
You've just heard John Gunther in an analysis of the German Russo War Declaration. NBC and many of its associated stations from coast to coast will remain open until further notice to bring you the latest on the war situation from Washington, London, Berlin, Moscow, and Helsinki. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York. Berlin military commentators emphasize that the troops are deployed in these three main sectors. First, the northern segment from the Arctic Ocean to the Finnish Bight. This covers 700 airline miles. And there, the Germans say Finnish soldiers are fighting beside the Nazis. Second, the middle sector extends from Memel on the Baltic Sea to the Carpathian Mountains on Russia's Romanian frontier. This 700-mile front is manned only by Germans. And third, the southern sector, covering 300 miles along the Russian-Romanian border from the Carpathians to the mouth of the Danube. There, Romanians are fighting beside the Nazis. The connection between the northern and middle sectors is maintained through mines to protect that flank and naval patrols. It's presumed that it is through that sector that Russia may be threatening Germany proper. For a short while ago, the Berlin radio announced that Russia may be able to strike directly at the Reich. The Berlin radio, in a report picked up by NBC, says this advantage, if such it proves, was gained by the Russians through treacherous preparations of the last few weeks. Berlin adds that the Russians will find the Germans ready for action. Just a few minutes ago, the high command of the Russian army issued its first communique of the new war with Germany. The Russians claim their anti-aircraft artillery and fighter planes shot down 65 German planes Sunday. The Soviet War Bulletin says Russian troops repulsed the German forces with heavy losses during the day, but the Nazis succeeded in advancing toward Grodno and Kristinopol. German troops occupied three villages about 10 miles inside Russian territory. The communique says the Germans attacked Russian frontier troops all the way from the Baltic Sea to the Black Sea. In the first half day of fighting, they were held back, but the Germans succeeded in gaining ground during fierce fighting in the afternoon. The high command of the Red Army, however, termed these gains an insignificant tactical success. Hardly had Adolf Hitler declared war on Russia than his planes began bombing Russian territory. There were fierce raids on Sevastopol, Kiev, Zhytomyr, and Kaunas. And from Ankara comes a report that Odessa is being softened by an aerial blow similar to that delivered on Rotterdam and Belgrade. The Germans claim swift successes for their air force. They say 40 Russian planes were shot down in attacks on East Prussia. And one squadron leader says Nazi planes destroyed 60 Russian planes on the ground at another point. So fast did Hitler's troops move, says the report, once they got started, they seized bridges before the retreating Russians could blow them up. Russia is said to be backing off from the area around Old Poland for more strategic defenses 50 miles from the border. In all her busy warfare on the Eastern Front, Germany found time to send some planes against England. London says 30 of these ships were shot down on Sunday. London had an air raid alarm Monday morning, but no bombs fell. Britain admits the loss of only two planes in fighting over the Channel and Nazi-held French territory. In the Near East, battles continue, with the Free French holding Damascus, and the British claiming some local successes. Italy has all but been knocked out of Ethiopia with the surrender of Jimma. Russian aerial bombardments of Finnish ports and ships serve notice on Finland that she is again at war with her big red neighbor. The Finns are preparing for battle. Every man between 18 and 59 has been called to arms or labor battalions. In other world capitals, there is much excitement. Sweden and Turkey have declared their neutrality. Spain has announced she is on the side of Germany, but is non-belligerent. Japan's highest officials met in conferences. An urgent conference of the cabinet has been postponed for 6 hours. Japanese newspapers are speculating that Japan must look to herself for her future. One commentator says the Japanese can see now how unreliable international treaties are. Remember, Germany and Russia signed non-aggression and friendship treaties at the outbreak of the war. And since then, Japan has joined up as an Axis partner with Berlin and Rome. And to further complicate the situation, Japan and Russia have signed a friendship agreement. In Washington, British Ambassador Lord Halifax talked for 2 hours with Undersecretary Sumner Wells and then said, "This may be the turning point of the war." In London, Prime Minister Churchill has promised Russia material and expert aid, but he made no mention of men. However, Russia has ample manpower. This news came to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
It was issued in London at 1:15 a.m. this morning, and it stated that a statement had been issued in Moscow to the effect that the Soviet Union and Great Britain are in full accord on the international situation at this moment. Now, that, of course, is a statement which raises very large issues. The Germans have attacked Russia. The Germans are at war with Great Britain. This means that Great Britain and Russia are, in effect, fighting on the same side. Even if they are not formal allies, they're associated in common defense, one on the west, one in the east, against Hitler's aggression. This is going to be a very complex and difficult thing to work out. It's probably the reason why Sir Stafford Cripps flew back to London from Moscow in somewhat mysterious circumstances last week. It brings forward the possibility of bizarre developments. We may see state banquets in Westminster Hall with the Union Jack and the red flag of the Soviet Union intertwined. We may have joint toasts to the Archbishop of Canterbury and Mr. Molotov. It's something that will bear very, very careful watching in this country. There are many people in this country, it goes without saying, who are bitterly anti-communist, just as there are in England. There are many people who, for a long time, took Hitler's promises at face value, Hitler's assertions, I should say, that he was a sworn enemy of the Bolsheviks, that he was going to protect, in quotes, the Western world against Russian communism. Now, in regard to our country, the issue becomes perfectly clear. Are we going to extend lend-lease help to the Soviet Union? It would be a most dramatic and sensational development. It's by no means impossible. As you know, we at once did what we could to help Britain, to help Yugoslavia, and to help Greece when they were attacked. We promised full aid to those British allies. Now, in effect, I don't mean to use too precise language about this, it's too early to tell, but in effect, Russia is now fighting on the same side as Great Britain, which we are sworn to defend. The issue arises what Washington will do. As to actual news in this regard, there's not very much to say. Washington has no official comment to make as yet. The NBC tried to reach Ambassador Konstantin Umansky in Washington. Has reached Ambassador Umansky after some effort. He said he had no comment to make until he received a word from Moscow. It's quite possible that Mr. Umansky is as surprised by what's going on as many of the rest of us. An AP story from Washington Tonight says the following. Germany's move against Russia created a sensation in diplomatic quarters and caught government officials unprepared for a development of such far-reaching significance. President Roosevelt had retired early before Adolf Hitler's proclamation was read over the German radio, and White House aides said that so far as they knew, he was not awakened for the news. Secretary of State Hull was advised immediately, but he and other State Department officials remained at home since the department so far lacked any official reports on the sudden development. In view of slow communications, it was expected that direct word from American diplomats abroad would not reach here for several hours. And despite widespread rumors of Russian-German tension for several days, Hitler's decision to turn his armies eastwards came as a distinct surprise at this time. The only person from whom we've had a definite quotation so far is from Senator George, the chairman of the very important Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He says, quote, "It has seemed clear that Germany would never make an all-out attack on England until assured Russia would be unable to attack the Reich, either through granting the concessions demanded or by war. Unless, continued Senator George, Russia capitulates quickly, which hardly seems likely now, it means that there will be at least some months before Germany can make an all-out effort against England. It also means that we have that much more time to carry on our own national defense program." And Senator George concluded, quote, "I don't think this changes our position at all. It does show one thing, however, that neither Germany nor Russia can be trusted," unquote. Well, whether or not Russia can be trusted or not, I wouldn't disagree with Senator George. this issue that I've raised will become a very important thing on which the United States government will have to make up its mind whether or not to extend aid to Russia, a country now attacked by Germany. I began this comment a few minutes ago by reading a British bulletin. Here is another one. The BBC, that is the British Broadcasting Corporation, early this morning stated that despite all radio, newspaper, and press reports to the contrary, quote, it can be definitely stated that no actual troop movements on the part of either Germany or Russia have as yet taken place, unquote. Now, that doesn't mean very much. From Mr. Hitler himself, we have word that the German troops are in motion. That's a very obscure part of the world in which it's very difficult to have adequate communications. It's quite possible that no reports have yet come through. But at this very moment, something's just been put in my hand. I must read it. Quote, NBC shortwave monitors have picked up the following report from the German radio. An announcement was made. German troops all along the Russian border, from the Baltic in the north to the Balkans in the south, are moving into their last-minute positions, unquote. Well, that word last-minute is quite interesting. It may mean that the actual attack, the actual invasion, has not yet begun. However, we know what enormous preparations are necessary for the movement of any great war machine. With things as far developed as they are now, it's inconceivable that the attack could be called off. The attack may not actually have got underway in any great depth along such an enormous front, but the fact that German troops are in motion is undeniable, indisputable, according to German reports. One point of some interest is the fact that the German leaders, Hitler and Ribbentrop, in their announcements tonight, in their statements tonight, didn't make any mention at all of either Italy or Japan, the Axis partners. The Hitler statement especially seemed to circumscribe the conflict with Soviet Russia only to Germany. Germany assisted, if you can use the word assist, by Finland and Romania. Then we have this in regard to the attitude of Rome, the Rome radio said tonight that in the coming conflict, another interesting adjective, between Russia and Germany, that this conflict will find the Italian army standing by, ready to assist Germany in her struggle, which is what the Italian army has been doing for some time. The Rome radio also announced early today that President İsmet İnönü of Turkey had left Ankara on his way to Istanbul. That's simply a transfer from the capital to the chief port in the Dardanelles. The announcement stated that the Turkish president would direct a very important meeting of the Turkish cabinet, as well as foreign representatives. That presumably could mean the German ambassador, Mr. von Papen. As you know, the Germans signed a friendship treaty with Turkey. There's a good deal of puzzlement about this. Now it's quite clear what it does mean. That is, that Germany hopes to neutralize Turkey in this attack on Russia. Now, the main thing, it seems to me, that should be stated at this point, when we haven't got any direct military news, the main thing that should be said is that this attack on Russia, which is a military gamble of the most enormous proportions, kind of gamble that Napoleon made, could only been caused by the most serious and far-reaching reasons. And those reasons must be associated with the position of Germany vis-a-vis Great Britain and the position of Germany vis-a-vis the United States. If the Germans think that they could knock out the British at once, then there have been no reason for this attack on the Soviet Union. We don't know how good the Russians are with their enormous army, the biggest in the world, 14 million men. Nevertheless, it is a war. Anybody who's ever fought Russia knows that it is a war. It would seem, on first tentative approach, that this campaign can only mean that Germany knows that it can't successfully attack Great Britain this summer, and also that Great Britain knows that our help to Great Britain is steadily becoming more and more important. Therefore, the Germans must go into the Ukraine, into the Caucasus, get grain, get oil, in preparation for another long autumn, another long winter. It's even conceivable that Russia, if it is conquered by Germany, will become a reservoir for Germany, just as the United States is a reservoir for Great Britain. That just as Great Britain draws on us for vital supplies, so Germany will be able to draw on Russia for vital supplies, provided, of course, that the Russians are beaten easily. One surprising detail, it seems to me, is that Stalin has not made any effort to stave this campaign off. Apparently, the Germans either asked him more than he could possibly give or didn't bother to ask him at all. Certainly, the Russians are not eager for this kind of major war. One point that we should keep in mind, I think, is the possibility that this enormous conflict, enormous at least in its geographical, political, social implications, enormous conflict, I say, may be a prelude to an enormous appeasement gesture. I mentioned this in the broadcast a few minutes ago. There are a great many people, Great Britain, in the United States, who for many years thought of Hitler as an anti-Bolshevik defense of the Western world. It was an extremely foolish attitude, as events have proved. It's quite possible, though, that Hitler will hope to divide and confuse conservative opinion, both in this country and in Great Britain, by his Russian attack. And if he wins it, the Russian war quickly, which, of course, is a matter completely open to question, we don't know, then he will turn to the British and say, now I have all of Europe, and you can't possibly beat me with Russia behind me. Now is the time that you must make peace on my terms. And when Hitler says peace, it isn't, of course, what we normally think of in connection with the word peace. One result of this campaign, it seems to me, will be a feeling among many people that it is not going to be as easy as heretofore to beat the Germans if the Germans make a successful Russian campaign, because so obviously the Germans will have at their command very, very considerable raw material resources. A blockade of the whole continent is difficult, but of the whole continent plus Russia is even more difficult. I've just been told that the official declaration of war by Germany against Russia has been confirmed. I began this broadcast, or rather another broadcast, saying that as a general rule, the Germans don't declare war, they just fight, and the fact that there is a declaration is highly suggestive. It means that Hitler is trading on the Bolsheviks as his old, real, final enemies. Now, the AP reports in a bulletin which has just been handed to me as follows, quote, German troops massed in East Prussia already are on the march, along with soldiers from Finland and Norway in the north, Finland and Norway in the north, and Romania to the south. The march was ordered as Hitler's proclamation of war was read over the German radio by Dr. Goebbels, the propaganda minister. The announcement said that mobilized on Germany's side were the forces of Field Marshal Baron Karl Gustav Mannerheim of Finland and Chief of Staff General Ion Antonescu of Romania, unquote.
We've heard again from the noted news analyst and author John Gunther. NBC and its stations will remain open until further notice in order to bring you the news from Europe as it develops. Keep tuned to this station. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Good evening, everybody. Hitler launched a new war tonight. It may be the biggest war of his career. Again, it's a Saturday night. Again, the stroke comes almost without warning. Some 6 weeks ago, as you know, on Saturday, Hitler sent his Panzer divisions into Yugoslavia, Later they went into Greece, then into Crete. But it's against a much bigger enemy this time. It's a war against the Soviet Union, against what is supposed to be the largest military force, the largest army, at least, that exists in the world. The German divisions are supposed to have crossed into Red Army territory, into the territory of the Soviet Union, sometime tonight by New York time. We have no details as to actual military operations. We don't know from what points they started. It's presumed that the attack began in Finland, where there have been important German concentrations in the last few weeks. 10,000 men were reported there quite recently, and from Romania. The provisional interpretation one can make of this tremendous, this sensational event is that Hitler needs the granaries of the Ukraine and the oil of the Caucasus so desperately that he is risking this most ambitious of all his military adventures on what is beyond any doubt the major crisis of his career. The attack on Russia also means that the war is a genuine two-front war, because after all, never to be forgotten is the Battle of the Atlantic on the other side, the battle against England. Probably the attack on the Soviet Union means that any attempt to invade England has been given up by the Germans for some time to come, possibly for all the rest of this year. It's almost inconceivable that a German attack on England can take place at the same time as an attack on Russia. Hitler's attacks rely on enormous concentrations of air power. It's almost impossible that he should have enough airplanes, to say nothing of tanks and land material, on both sides. German statements tonight repeat the kind of thing that are common when the Germans move against another country. Hitler says that the Germans have Hitler says that the Russians have violated their agreements. He charges the Soviet with crossing the German frontier, that Soviet airplanes flew over Poland and Romania, contrary to the frontier arrangements that the Germans and Russians had made. It also said that the Soviet government is accused of demanding mobilization of the Serbian armies. One of Hitler's remarks, so familiar to anyone who has watched his remarks at similar times, is this, quote, "The moment has come when I can no longer look upon these developments." He means, of course, merely look. Then he pointed out that both Finns and Romanians were standing shoulder to shoulder with the Germans. It's an odd way to put it. And Hitler said he had decided to place the fate of his people and of Europe in the hands of the German army. Now, Mr. Hitler has several times run rather wild with international commitments. He has more than once broken his promises, his pledges. He's torn up, as we all know, many more than one treaty. But this surely is the most flagrant repudiation of a pledge and a promise that even Hitler has ever made. You all remember the 1939 treaty between Russia and Germany, the treaty that was an introduction to the World War, a 10-year non-aggression pact between these old enemies. It was a treaty in which both countries promised absolute peace, neutrality, friendship, cooperation, and so on. Now it is one of the most extraordinary scraps of paper that even these times can produce. Another extremely interesting thing tonight is that, as far as we know at the moment, this is the only time in which the German armies have attacked anyone with a formal declaration of war. This is explicit in the early news bulletins, but on the other hand, I should like to mention it with some caution, because, as I recall, the night that the Germans went into Yugoslavia, it was also first said that there was a declaration of war. Later, this was not was not confirmed. The Germans never declared war on Yugoslavia or Greece. But tonight it is said they have declared war on the Soviet Union. The ramifications of this adventure are so enormous that It's almost impossible to talk about them. One is, of course, the direct military prospects. The Germans have their armored, their panzer divisions, presumably ready for attack in two quarters from the Finnish frontier against Leningrad, which is important as a controlling factor in the Baltic. Second, an attack thousand miles to the south in the Ukraine, the flat country where most of Russia's harvest is gathered, and which is on the way to the Caucasus, where, of course, there is oil. You remember the treaty that the Germans suddenly signed with the Turks a few days ago. Many people were puzzled by that treaty. Its meaning now becomes completely obvious. It was to neutralize the Turks in this Russo-German campaign against Russia. Another thing that we must watch very carefully will be the repercussions that a German attack on Russia will cause among certain circles, both in the United States and in Great Britain. After all, this turns the clock back with a vengeance. Now again, we have the old Nazi, Mr. Hitler, attacking the communists who, for so many years, he had always said were the people he hated most, his bitterest enemies, the people whom he despised and loathed more even than the Jews. That period ended with the Russo-German Pact of 1939. Now Hitler's back to his old Mein Kampf thesis. He is attacking communists. He is attacking communists in Russia, which is the stronghold of whatever communism is left there. This will probably mean that some old-style conservatives in Great Britain, perhaps even some defeatists and appeasers in the United States, will come out and say, as they used to say 6 or 7 years ago, ah, yes, Mr. Hitler is saving us from Bolshevism by attacking Russia. Such talk isn't likely to go very far nowadays, however. This also brings up the question of the Hess affair. It's very interesting to wonder what Mr. Hess is thinking about tonight, because, after all, if the official story is accepted, Hess fled Germany largely on account of differences with Hitler in regard to collaboration with Russia. The various military aspects of this campaign are almost impossible to talk about. We don't know how strong the Russians are. They've had ample time to prepare. But certainly, the campaign will give us an answer to one of the most tremendous questions in the entire world. That is, how strong the Russians are. Here is more of the text of Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop's formal declaration of war, as translated by the NBC shortwave listening post. Quote, "The German government has tried consistently to reconcile the two radically opposing viewpoints, that of National Socialism of Germany and the Communism of Russia, but to no avail. The German government has tried to reconcile its own viewpoint with that of the Russian government. It has consistently tried also to bring about equitable relations between the various nations of the European continent. However, the German government found that this course could not be pursued indefinitely in view of the fact that the doctrines of the international Jewish Comintern would not permit the working out of amicable relations between the various nations, and particularly prevent effectively any real cooperation between Germany and Soviet Russia." Unquote. We shall have more in a few moments.
You've just heard John Gunther in an analysis of the German-Russo War Declaration. NBC and many of its associated stations from coast to coast will remain open until further notice to bring you the latest on the war situation from Washington, London, Berlin, Moscow, and Helsinki. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to take just a moment to remind you once again that the National Broadcasting Company and many of its associated stations from coast to coast will remain open, on the air that is, until further notice to bring you the latest developments in this new war situation. From Washington, London, Berlin, Moscow, and Helsinki. Keep tuned to this station. Ladies and gentlemen, NBC has just been notified that Prime Minister Winston Churchill will speak on the German-Russian situation at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Eastern Daylight Time. His address will be carried over most of these stations on the NBC networks. I think that's important enough to repeat. Prime Minister Winston Churchill will speak on the German-Russian situation at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Eastern Daylight Saving Time. That's this afternoon, of course, it now being 10 minutes to 4 in New York. At 3 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Daylight Time over the NBC networks. Keep tuned to this station. Skeleton Defense Force along the Prut River, which divides Romania and Soviet Russia. This would put the marshes between Russian troops and their enemies. The new dispositions apparently were made with an eye to better defense. Soviet artillery is massed along the Dniester River, the old frontier between Romania and Russia. The Air Force is based still farther in the interior. Both German and Romanian troops are reported occupying positions along the lower Prut River. The biggest German concentration is reported in the adjacent province of northern Bukovina. Keep tuned to this station for more news from the NBC newsroom in New York.